birthday then.
Yes, that's right. You know, I've been living under the threat of death, as you noted, at the outset for over 3 decades. So it's not dying. You know, I've already made peace with the fact that I'm going to die at some point and someday. All of us are. But the thing that really drives me is I'm here. How can I live? You know, you reference all the things that I've accomplished since being on death row, and all those things come from a desire just to live because I'm alive. You know, I had these really amazing musicians come into my life, Albert Marquez, Arturo Ferro, Caroline Davis, Elsa Nils, and, you know,
Keith,
small,
we're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue the conversation and post it online at democracynow.org. Keith Lamar, artist, teacher, writer, death row prisoner, speaking to us from the Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown. I'm Amy Goodman.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2025. I am Cecil Prescott, and thank you for listening and being a part of our community. So, here we are, together again. It has been a couple of weeks since we've been on the air live, and certainly a lot of things continue to happen, and changes are all around us. But in the midst of change and confusing time, people continue to build community and organize. And with that in mind, I want to share with you one announcement. And this morning about an event that is happening locally in the Portland area. On Saturday, March 1st, it's the First Unitarian Portland's Maryland Sewell Social Justice Lecture. The lecture series this year is entitled A Tale of Two States, Abortion and Reproductive Stories from Idaho and Oregon. witness monologues and be called to action by a compelling panel and the launch of Oregon's Equal Rights for All campaign. That will take place at the First Unitarian Church in Portland this Saturday, March 1st, 2025 at 3 p.m. And for information about the event, you can contact First Unitarian Portland about the event and how you might participate. That's this Saturday, an event at the First Unitarian Church in Portland, A Tale of Two States, Abortion and Reproductive Stories from Idaho and Oregon. That's one example of how people are organizing in the midst of the radical changes that are taking place within our nation and indeed within our world today. With that in mind, it occurred to me, you know, remember when you were young and perhaps you were excited to learn a new word, or I'll speak personally, going and trying to learn a new word each day and trying to use it in a sentence. Well, this isn't exactly a new word, but it came across my desk recently, and I said, well, it is so appropriate talking about the United States right now and the government. Well, one may argue whether or not we are living indeed in a fascist state. I think all can agree that our federal government is, in fact, a catastocracy. According to the Oxford ED, a catocracy is a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. One only has to look at the appointments of those officially and unofficially in charge of the executive branches of the United States government and can say, well, we are a government run by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. In fact, I think many can agree that the modern regime is at once a plutocracy, you know, a government by and for the wealthy, and a kakitocracy, a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of the state. Take a breath. We are living in new times. The rise of fascism around the world is something that we are witnessing in live time right now. It is as if we failed to learn a lesson from a century ago. And perhaps it is no surprise. Certainly the greatest generation, those who were shaped and fought against fascism in the 1930s and 40s, and those who saw it rise in the right after the First World War and warned of it, those people, those generation was shaped by the battle against fascism, the Second World War, and the Cold War that followed that. They were shaped and formed by the rise of fascism throughout the world in the 1920s and 1930s. Certainly that generation is no longer in charge, and as generations pass and die, new generation who had no experience, first-hand experience of fascism, and we see a change in our society. This fascist rise in world government in the United States and indeed throughout the world is a many decade product in terms of careful learning that has been, I think, a product of the merger of heretical Christian thinking with right-wing political philosophy. So how do we respond, and are we prepared to engage in similar types of movement buildings? the movement building for white Christian nationalism began in small settings, community settings, such as churches or social clubs, and included things such as an embrace and an expansion of private Christian education, which developed in the 1950s as a way in which white Christian parents reacted to the 1954 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Brown versus the Board of Education, which call for the integration of public schools. What we saw and witnessed was the mass exodus of hundreds of thousands of white students from the public schools, and the setting up of a another education system. It in fact involved not only the creation of an alternative education model, but it was in fact an creation of an alternate world system. I'd like to compare it to the Marvel concepts of a multi-universe, where multiple things are happening in different realities in different worlds at the same time, that only rarely do they intersect or intercede. Well, we are living, I believe, in where the alternate universe has merged with our reality, and those the Trump administration's is now the dominant universe. It has merged with our reality, and we are all living in it. Following the election in last November, a niece of mine was certainly troubled. She the day after the election, when her grandparents came to pick her up from school, and she's a senior in high school, my niece said, "I woke up this morning in a country with no rights." And it is true. Tati is living in a world where it's radically different from the world that her parents face, her grandparents face. And the announcements I shared this morning about the organizing around abortions and reproductive rights, and the contrast between what's going on in Oregon and in Idaho, is testimony that the things that her mother and her grandmother took for granted in terms of access to a good reproductive health care is now absent. And finally, a Facebook post that someone close to me posted yesterday. They wrote, "Wow, got the ambiguous, non-personal, quote, what did you do last week email as a federal employee who works on disaster recovery, so nothing important." They write, continue, "I wonder if I'll be able to do that in the future, or I will be told that my job performance is unsatisfactory like so many others and be fired. Never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, or ever, really. Oh goodness, almost forgot. Found out Friday that some of my coworkers on the civilian side who work for the county may be getting laid off also, as Muckety Mucks takes advantage of the climate and slash budgets. I mean, this is the worst, y'all." And so this is the world we're living in. And I talked so long, someone called earlier. But I want to encourage others and the caller to return and give us some of your thoughts. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. How are you managing, coping, organizing in this new reality? And what do you think? Do you assume, do you agree with the my opinion that we are living in a world of government, government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state? And isn't it ironic and weird and strange that in this open racism that is part of our federal government right now. It's blatant and open, and it's certainly a challenge. So we are living in kakistocracy. That's once a plutocracy is governed by and for the wealthy, and we see that every day. So how do we live? How do we survive? And what are some of your thoughts on how do we organize? Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. So people are organizing in different ways, and those of you who are in the communities, you can share our ways in which you are organizing, in which you are resisting, on which we are struggling back. I think some calls are coming in, and we'll get to them in a bit. But one thing that I know that many of you have seen on in social media, those of you who still use social media, because, well, that's an issue that we can also address. You all may be familiar with the calls for actions. But let's go to some of our callers online. Let's go to our first caller, Lenita. Good morning, Lenita.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. I just want to say what a wonderful summary you just did.
Oh.
And I woke up feeling so happy because the Eagles declined to go to the White House. And it's those individual signs of resistance that I think has a ripple effect. But you coined it so lovely when you talked about how Christian nationals started planning for this 40, 50 years ago, starting with Brown versus education and the way they're decimating the public education budget. That's a lesson that progressives can take, but I also want to encourage us not to give up, to keep fighting. And with shows like yours and support for community radio all over the country, we'll stop this. And I just, again, wonderful summary you did. I lived through the 80s, and soon they'll be giving out government cheese. Remember
yes,
that? They
yes.
Give out those blocks of government cheese. Well, people stand in line. They made the best grilled cheese sandwiches, though. I just want to pour it out.
Well, they certainly did, and you know, with these tariffs and stuff, so they'll have extra cheese to give away. So, yeah, we'll all stand in line for the government cheese.
And milk and all the dairy products to keep the dairy farmers from going out of business. But I don't know. I just feel encouraged. I follow Blue Sky. Grassroots News Northwest has an account on Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraged by what you do, what Althea does, what all the volunteers contribute their creativity to keep things moving and grooving. It's easy to give up. My heart is broken how they treat federal employees. And, you know, we already had a federal government that was on, you know, it didn't feel like they had enough employees anyway to do all the things that they do. And what makes a functioning bureaucracy, Cecil, is when you don't see it because things are moving and grooving, right?
Yes, yes.
It's like a car. You don't pay any attention to the engine until something goes wrong, right? And you have to maintain it. You know, you put oil in it and you check all the other mechanical things and make it move and groove. And that's what we're going to start seeing, the breakdown of society. And we didn't really appreciate our federal employees because they did their job.
Yes.
But you try to access federal benefits, like you hear people complaining, about Social Security and how long the wait is, right? Mm-hmm. You'll start hearing people complaining about my food stamps got cut, or I can't live off of this basic minimum. And then they'll start changing the eligibility requirement. You know, Cecil, you and I, we've seen this playbook before in the 80s, right?
Yes. Yes. I like to say that as a young person, I began my adult years with Ronald Reagan, and now as an older person, it's with Donald Trump, and it's sort of like, yeah, we've seen this, and it's not a surprise, you know. As you mentioned, Ronald Reagan and the dismantling of a consensus, Republican and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, of the 1930s of in terms of the responsibility of the federal government, and the dismantling of that is so true. And as you highlighted, as we see what we assume worked magically, you know, it was always there, and we'll see that, oh, I'm not getting the service I've been accustomed to. So we'll see our response as we dismantle something that we depend on.
So thank you for all you dropping your knowledge. Thank your listeners. We need to support our community communications and start supporting each other and just keep fighting. Thank you so much, Cecil. Take care.
Thank you so much, Lenita. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil, and next we'll talk to Velen, I believe. Good morning.
Totally, it's Valen. It's an unusual name. I think it's really only shown up in people tell me a character on Babylon 5.
Okay.
So you mentioned that, you know, Trump has us living in this world where our rights are taken away, but I really want to sort of encourage in a different sense the knowledge that we as human beings have inalienable rights, and our government is not respecting them. You know, trans people's right to exist, people with uteruses, their right to medical care and abortion, care after a miscarriage, you know, just because our government is taking a downswing does not mean that these are not your rights. I also really want there are a couple of things. So listeners should know that there is a build up, there's organization happening for a general strike, you know, meaning no nothing, no buying, no working, and it doesn't have a date. It has a percentage of people in the U.S. that they are waiting for to sign their strike card before we do that. So if you go to generalstrikeus.com, you can sign your strike card. Not everybody's able to do this necessarily, but if you can, you should. And one last thing. On the 28th, they have put a day on it.
Yes.
A day of boycotting, especially Amazon, especially mega corporations like Walmart, like Target, who eliminated all of their DEI programming, like the corporate money lovers that they are. And so, yeah, I just, you know, get with their communities, their loved ones, and aside from all of that, just look for ways that you can support the people around you and the ways that they can support you also.
Yes.
You know, we need, as organizers, we need to be able to ask for help and ask for what we need.
That is so important. Thank you so much. Great
Absolutely.
Information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your hard work. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio, and they shared a website you can go to, generalstrikeus.com, and in it, if you go there, you will see general information about a general strike. And as the caller mentioned, the economic strength that we do have, that we will share. And I'll share a little bit about that, but first I want to go to our next caller. Joan, good morning, Joan. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for hosting, and what wonderful callers you just had. And thank you for your thoughts. And I want to add on to the last caller. I am so happy to hear somebody talking about boycotting Amazon and anything that Musk has to do with. There are certain things that we need. And, okay, the main point I want to make, I love the idea of a general strike, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not just about one day strike. When you're dealing with a bully, and I think we're dealing with people on the level of a schoolyard bully, with nuclear weapons capability, which it puts it in a whole other level. But basically, that's what they are. And the way you deal, like if it's a question of self-defense with a real bully, is you change the script. Mm. The bully wants you in his movie. And right now, they are controlling the movie and writing the script. It's not the only level of reality there is. Right. And this isn't just about some fantasy about different realities. There are different realities. And we don't go into their movie. We bring them into our movie. And I've gotten myself out of self-defense, you know, situations by doing that. Sometimes it's psychological. Sometimes it's emotional or physical or whatever you need to do. Uh-huh. You don't succumb to violence. David Graeber said that violence is sort of like the playbook of the stupid, and the problem with violence is it's the one form of stupidity that it's really hard to come up with an intelligent response to. But we don't have to go into their playbook. And their movie is about competition. It's about greed, and above all, it's about money. And I think that if people refuse to deal with some of these corporations and buy their products and put our money elsewhere, and that includes anything that people may be invested in, pull the plug. Their plug is money. That's what they want. That's what that whole business about getting minerals from Ukraine, it's all about the, oh my gosh, you know, we're still raping the earth and all that stuff. It's about money, it's about power, it's about competition, it's about greed. And I think it may be a form of Buddhism that says this is the realm of the jealous gods. We don't live there and we don't have to deal there. Mm-hmm. Although we do may have to deal with the consequences of what they're throwing on people. But we don't have to interact from there, certainly not.
Right.
And we can respect immigrants. We can understand that we're all immigrants, unless we're native. And that this is their reality form that is a very old, tired script. It, you know, keeps rolling around and around again. It's the last resort of the desperate gruntings of the end of the certain dinosaur era, and it keeps coming up again because it's always been here. Right. The racism is not new, you know, all the phobias, including xenophobia, it's not new. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to go there. I think we've got to evolve into one of the higher levels, and we can look at, I guess, what everybody thinks is holy and what everybody thinks is sacred, and agree on that and work together on that, and not fall into this business of competition, worshiping celebrities and fame. What is that? You know, we don't need that stuff. And I think we need to go beyond it. And then I can't say what a solution would be, but I think the actions we take will evolve from that perspective. Does that make sense?
It does. It does, Joan. And I appreciate how you summarized that and reminded us that, as you put it, we don't have to play in their movie. We all,
because in their movie, we're victims.
Right.
And
right.
They're the all-powerful. Right. And really, if you look at it that way, you know, yes, we're mammals and we have the same instincts, but we have other instincts as well.
Yes. Well, let me suggest you began by observing the futility of of violence or counter violence, and I want to suggest a documentary film or film series that people may be familiar with. It's about a quarter of a century old, but I think it's helpful. It's called A Force More Powerful. It's a look at nonviolent resistance movements around the world in the 20th century. Look at successful nonviolent movements, including the movement for Indian independence, Mohandas Gandhi, the civil rights movement, the anti-apartheid movement, the Danish resistance to the Nazis, the Polish solidarity movement, and the Chilean democracy movement to oust Pinochet. Those are examples of how people organized in different communities around the world at different times to counter the bully by offering a counter-narrative or counter-way of living and a way of resistance.
Thank you. I'm not suggesting that if somebody is, you know, standing there trying to kill you, that you don't fight back.
No.
There is a place for self-defense, but self-defense takes a lot of forms.
Yes.
And there's skill to it also, because a bully is inherently a coward, right? The bully picks on people who are smaller. That's cowardice.
Yes.
And a bully is kind of stupid because they don't know what's really going on in the world. And these are things that can be used against them.
Yes.
In a literal sense, if someone's confronting, you know, there are ways to deal with it without getting, I mean, this could get into a long talk about women's self-defense and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not suggesting that people just stand there and let themselves be beat up.
No.
But you don't have to stand there. You know what I mean? There's a place where you're invisible and they can't see you.
Right. And thank you for raising this, because I think it's an important discussion. And I think, I'm being philosophical and trying to be realistic. So what can we do in terms of how do we prepare? How do we defend, and certainly on an individual, community, society-wise, things differ. I think, though, what I'm hearing, what I'm gaining from our discussion this morning, is to be imaginative, to be able to realize one's own power, and find ways to resist and to overcome the bully.
And the power we have right now is financial.
Yes.
We don't need to support them.
Right.
You know, I'll pay my Oregon taxes or whatever. My taxes can go to help poor people. That's good. I'm not rich. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You don't need to invest in Amazon.
Right.
We don't need to buy from Walmart. This is not... convenience, Uber, Alice is not helping us.
Right. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and we were talking about this economic boycott and how people are getting excited about it in terms of recognizing their own power, and they observe that because it. One thing is for a call for economic boycott this Friday, February 28th. No buying, no purchases, no Amazon or Walmart. Don't buy. And this person observed that, you know, I haven't bought anything on Amazon for 2 weeks. I can do it for one day and just
I can do it for the rest of my life.
Yes, indeed.
It's not about one day. They are convenient,
mm-hmm.
and that's the hook.
Yes.
That's the hook. We don't need that hook. So I'll walk to the store and then purchase something from a local vendor. And I tell them, you know, I'll pay more to you, and I won't, rather than buy it on Amazon.
Right.
You know, this is something we can do, and I'm not somebody with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a suggestion, you know, and there are reasons why people might not be able to.
Right, right.
And we have to respect everybody's choice.
Right, and I don't think it's a, you know, call to shame. And as you said, you know, there's an emergency, things needs to be done, and the way our society is set up, it makes it very difficult for people to opt out.
Oh. Right, right. And we have to have respect for that.
Yes.
But to the extent that we can, mm-hmm. to the extent that we, and every little penny that's deducted from their power game, mm-hmm. that's a place to start.
It is.
It's at one power we still have. Anyway, thank you very much. I don't want to take up all the time, but I appreciate you letting me, you know, giving me a platform here for a few minutes.
Well, thank you, Joan, for sharing the information with us. I appreciate you and your commitment and quite frankly, your inspiration about what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we're speaking, as Joan just mentioned, about what can we do? How do we resist the bully? What are ways in which we offer not only a counter-narrative, but acknowledge and realize our power and the force we have to change the reality that we find ourselves in. So one example, as Joan and the earlier caller mentioned, was in terms of the power we have, our economic power. Call for this Friday for an economic blackout. You know, turn it off. For one day, realize our power. So what not to do? Do not make any purchases. Do not shop online or in store. No Amazon, no Walmart, no Best Buy, no fast food. Do not spend money on food, fast food, gas, major retailers. Do not use credit or debit cards for non-essential spending. Now you need, you know, what you can do, you know, buy essentials of absolute necessity. Necessary items such as food and medicine, emergency supplies, and as Joan reminded us, if we must spend and support local small businesses. They need our support. They are our neighbors, and we can support. So talk about this, post about it, and I've seen this on social media about this economic boycott, these economic actions, and it's ways in which people can acknowledge our power and how to resist. As Joan reminded us and others, corporations and banks only care about their bottom line. So if we disrupt the economy for one day, it sends a powerful message. Now, certainly it is not the end, and it's certainly on March 1st, everything, the president and his minion will suddenly see the light and repent and change. No. This struggle is a long struggle, and it is one which requires us to continue the work that we can do. So what are things that you are able to do? What are ways in which you are able to resist? What are suggestions you have? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share some of your thoughts, and we will allow the wider community to hear. So let's go to our next caller. Lou, good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I had two thoughts.
Okay.
An economic boycott, that's really good, of course. And as we've mentioned here and there, there's an ongoing, more than just a one-day boycott against Walmart, which Keith Wilson, the new mayor, has actually endorsed that one. It's to stop gun violence. And we've mentioned it before, but Portland Gray Panthers is helping to organize it locally. There's many groups, ecumenical ministries, and others in the Northwest that have endorsed that. So the Buy Nothing Day thing on Friday is good, but it also helps to have a target over time for economic boycotts. I thought I would, on a second thought, mention that one of the things that helps for organizers in our coalition at Portland State is reflecting and learning new stuff, like about history and fighting fascism in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we did this weekend was a few of us went to a film. You may already have heard of it. It's called I'm Still Here. It's from Brazil. It's nominated. Fernanda Torres, the main actress, is nominated for Best Actress. She's considered a, quote, dark horse candidate. The film is called I'm Still Here. It's about Brazil and people fighting the fascist dictatorship in the 1960s. And I didn't even know. We looked at the end, the credits. It's a true story.
Uh-huh.
So the summary in 60 seconds is there's a congressman who goes into exile. He's a politically left-wing congressman in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And he comes back to Brazil after 6 years. He's an engineer. He has a wife and five kids. He has a whole network of organizers and continues supporting resistance. He gets taken away by three army guys with guns out of his house, disappeared, and we don't know. We follow the family that's left for years. They're never told, did he actually get killed by the junta? It turns out he was killed the second day he was in jail. And the story is about Fernanda Torres, the wife and the mother who's now a widow. She goes on to raise her kids, and it's a true story. This is a thing we thought was really interesting. She goes on to raise her kids. She later on becomes a lawyer at 48, almost 50 years old, and she starts representing indigenous peoples in Brazil. The dictatorship eventually is overthrown. So it's, we thought it was a really good movie. It displaced our previous favorite, which was the Bob Dylan movie for Best Picture. But the Academy Awards are this Sunday, in case people care at all about film. But it's a way to find out a little bit more about that film.
Oh, great. And the film is I'm Still Here.
Correct.
Okay, great.
All right, that's all I had.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that recommendation. And yes, there are ways in which people continue to struggle and resist, and we need to be informed of it. So check out about that that struggle in Brazil and be inspired. I'm Still Here. Let's go to our next caller, because I hope they're still here. Tangent, are you here? Hello? Oh, hello. Are you there? Tangent?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, already? Great. Okay, I'm sorry. But okay, one, getting started is half done. You ever heard your mom say that, or anybody from another age?
I was just writing it down. Getting starting is half done.
Because people can talk about sweeping or whatever you got to do, the garage. But getting started, it's like now it's moving.
You have to move. Okay. Yes.
I wanted to throw in a personal experience with a bully. When I was in high school, I was the shortest kid in the class. But that didn't have especially anything to do with it. And he bullied a lot of people. All I'm saying is one day I was on my little stingray crossing this little bridge that was about 8 feet wide, and we were the only two people there, and he just goes, get out of the way. And I'm like, hey, there's plenty of room. And he punched me in the chest, and then wind got knocked out of me.
Hello?
He walked on, and he never bothered me again.
I think I lost you. He punched you in the chest.
Okay, I'm sorry. I moved my mouth away from the piece. Okay, here we go. He punched me in my chest. I lost my breath. I stood there. I got my breath back. He walked on. This guy never bothered me again.
Hmm. So what did you gain from that?
What I learned from it was, one, I didn't have to move simply because he said so. Two, there was plenty of room for both of us, right? And maybe even more, maybe, but... I just, you know, hey, I don't know. Probably I was born with this. My mom gave it to me. I guess my mom gave it to me.
Uh-huh. But
heads off, mom.
He punched you in the chest, so you took the punishment.
Well, yeah, and it didn't really even hurt that much to think about it.
Well,
you know, I was shocked.
Well, this could be a okay, I understand. Okay. All right. Okay. And I interrupted your... Continued tension.
No, I think that I have some more, but I should write these things down. Once I get on a story, I kind of forget the other things I might have talked about.
Okay.
We could just call it. Oh, I was thinking of this. Talk about like what power. Okay, one, this is it. Power. Our English word power comes from the French pouvoir, which is a verb to be able.
Okay.
To be able to do something. You have the power. That's how they'll say that. And so I just think, well, I was thinking this, okay, so this one little boycott that's coming up, and it may not have the exact result we wanted one day, but I just think about somebody with that much money, if their value actually went down, they might have a cardiac arrest.
Okay. That's a
it shouldn't be a trillion, right? But if it goes down, the sky is falling.
Well, let's
another share piece again.
Let's see if we can do that, Tangent. Recognizing, as others mentioned, our power, our economic power, and as you observe, I think quite accurately, they will notice. Well, thank you so much for your call, and I think we have Janet. Are you still there, Janet?
I sure am. I think that is like such a great name, Tangent. I can be tangential myself sometimes. But I love your call-ins. This morning I'm sitting online. We have mutual aid kind of things up the mountain for food distribution.
Yes.
And then you get a box and share a box. But what I was thinking for myself is I have a very wonderful opportunity to relate to younger generations, and I got to go see the movie recently with this kid in their 20s, The Balloon. What's our band that just came out remembering how they got started? Quicksilver. The Messenger. Oh, I'm getting my...
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah. Okay, thanks for getting me back on board. The Led Zeppelin.
I
really don't like the thing when people would say, hey, that's my story, that I'm sticking to it. And I'm thinking, well, I think that was my story, but I'm going to change it. But the idea that we're growing up around so many different narratives, and then people don't have a chance to really think about, you know, exactly what they're involved with, and then politically kind of take off with a narrative and not think about what the people want, what the constituents want. It's all like a bunch of narratives. And the narrative more and more shallow, and then people don't have a chance to think for themselves and use critical thinking to be thinking, well, what's in it for us? And so the idea about the strategy of the narrative to divide and conquer with narratives that are so demeaning and dividing and biased and racist, that people kind of have themselves groomed. I'd be thinking about people having been groomed by narratives and political parties to be against each other. Right. And so I think to get to a point where I'm thinking, well, that was my story, and it's pretty great that some of these people are still alive about the same age as me back in 70 or 71 that are still coherent. And some of the stories that rose up out of the civil rights movement back when I was living above Dave Dellinger in Brooklyn, that these are still really important, wonderful things, and happily that the longitudinal studies of some of those people are still okay. The message is still right, and we can share it with young people.
That's so important.
Yeah. And your show's remarkable. Thanks for keeping it real and keeping it lit, and the call. Your callers are phenomenal, reminding us all about how to kind of move forward together.
Indeed. And thank you for your calling and reminding us that we are not powerless, that we can create community support, mutual aid. And also, you also mentioned near the beginning about critical thinking. And, you know, I hope people realize that where we are, I think it's related to the dismantling of public education and, you know, and things such as critical thinking skills. We'll see.
One other little thing, the previous gal, the tangent lady, brought up the meaning of a word and the character. Picture's worth a thousand words in Chinese. The word influence, the character, is kind of poison. So we have to be thinking about how we're influencing others to do a little detox deep within ourselves, because these problems of greed and thinking to be thrifty, all of that good and evil are not outside of us. that the way we can influence and create friendships with people that have been really gaslit so much, I think it really takes a lot of warmth, even with people that we're not on the same page with, how to make it clear that we can connect at a deeper level.
Yes, deeper level. Yes. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your observation and also how you concluded in terms of connecting with people on a deeper level. Let's go to our next caller, Francis. Good morning, Francis.
Hi, Cecil.
How are you today?
I am good. I am angry.
Yes.
I'm being patient. I've learned to do that over the years. You know, speaking of the definition of words, I just heard a repeat of the Donald and his Secretary of Defense using cuss words to describe the word woke. And if you look up that word in the dictionary or in wherever online, the definition of woke since the 1930s or earlier is used to refer to awareness of social and political issues affecting African Americans and is derived from the African American English synonym for the general American English word awake.
Yes.
It is often used in the construction stay woke.
Yes. Yeah.
To me, I'm really, really, really disappointed in media for not and reinforcing that definition every single day, and every day that somebody uses it in a derogatory fashion.
Thank you, Francis.
DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, is what America is supposed to be all about.
Yes.
And I'm annoyed with media for allowing that to fly, to giving it any kind of standing. It's annoying to me. And that's when I start realizing that it's all about the money and corporations are just making money from continuing to instill conflict and chaos. But the racism, we cannot continue to pretend like it's not in our face every dang day. I came up in this country believing that we were making changes and that we were improving and things were getting better. And I have mixed race children and I've raised them to be kind and compassionate and help them learn how to navigate the BS, but you know.
Yes.
And I'm angry that they have to continue to do that, right, and that their children and that my grandchildren have to do that.
Right. That's.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Where is our Congress for real? How are they allowing this to continue? I'm trying to figure that part out.
I think many of us are, because the last time I read the Constitution, there's three branches of the federal government, three equal branches of the federal government, and the Congress passes laws and the budget. Once the president carries out what has been passed, or should carry out what has been passed.
He thinks he's a king.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know what he's got over their heads, the Republicans. Why are they so afraid of him?
Well, it seems like, the Republicans and, as you mentioned, the apparent silence of the Democrats, and I'm sure I'll get pushback. I know senators such as the senator from Connecticut has been doing stuff. I saw a post from the junior senator from Oregon talking about what's going on with TSA. So individuals, but I would think
they need to talk to their Republican cohorts there and get at least a handful of them to wake up, or at least stop being afraid. And if they're being intimidated or threatened, they need to tell it.
Right.
they need to stand up and say why they're so afraid to follow the Constitution. I'm really, man, I probably cussed more in the last few weeks than I have in years.
You're not the only one. You know, this preacher had to wash out his mouth a few times with soap. Yeah.
My young son is starting a podcast, so he's calling it "Love, Peace, and Fish Grease," from the quote from back in the day.
Yes.
And that tickles me, you know. And that's what gives me, and that helps me keep the faith.
That's true. Oh, great.
Yeah. And he called me the other day and was so happy to see that town hall reception that I think he's from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Congressperson got from the
Republican MAGA. yes yeah
he said, "See, Mom, I've been praying that the MAGA people wake up. They're starting to wake up." I said, "Well, they need to hurry up."
Hey, thank you so much, and continue to maintain the struggle and keep the faith.
Me too.
Thank you. Yesterday in church, during the children's sermon, the leader recalled Jesse Jackson, and not only his cry out that to "I am somebody," and had was call and response. "I am somebody. I may be black, but I am somebody. I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be a woman, but I am somebody. I may be differently able, but I am somebody. I may be trans, but I am somebody." And all of us at all the times must remember that. The great Congressman John Lewis, who died a few years ago, who life embody passion and nonviolence and justice, said, "Ours is the struggle of a lifetime, or maybe even many lifetimes. And each one of us in every generation must do our part. And if we believe in the change we seek, then it is easy to commit to doing all we can, because the responsibility is ours alone to build a better society and a more peaceful world." Let's see if we can get our last two callers in real quick. Okay, Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for this discussion and for the boycott coming up. I really appreciate the talk around it, and it's so important. And is boycott the fast food industry? Because we are having a ravenous, regular way of supporting big corporations in the way we eat, which is, talk about violence. I mean, violence towards animals is so rampant. And this is a taboo subject among most liberals. If you start talking about this, people usually shut down and cannot talk about how we're killing the planet and each other with our eating habits, the way we treat animals. And it's horrendous. It's the one thing we can do that's regular. When we shop at Walmart and all these other things, it's haphazard buying. But when we eat, it's hopefully fairly regular. And we can do something significant by buying plant-based foods, local, organic, et cetera, et cetera. It is more expensive to do that, but we save in healthcare costs enormously when we do.
Hey, this is an important topic. I'm not cutting you off because I think you raised an important issue, but we're running out of close to time, but I look forward to expanding
taboo.
Our conversation.
Talk
no, this
it.
Isn't yeah. a taboo. I'm. It's taboo
it
because
taboo.
Well, I don't want it to be taboo, but we're running out
Try
of time
about it
right
with your
now.
Friends. They won't go there.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's go to our next caller. Thank you so much for raising this issue, how we might save the planet by looking at how we eat and how we produce food. Let's go to our next caller. Arthur, your last caller.
Hi, sister. I'll keep it brief. I made my own T-shirt that says, Israel murders children with our money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three people came up and complimented me, and the one called the Palestinians roaches. So, you know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Well, okay.
Okay, one book recommendation, and then I'll hang up.
Okay, what's the book?
There's a book, it's incredible. It's called It Can't Happen Here.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's about, written in the 30s, about fascism in the U.S. It's by a famous author whose name I cannot recall. But thank you.
It's coming to me. And thank you so much for calling. And all of you who are part of this audience, this has been a fascinating conversation, and it reminds me about what we cannot do. That book, It Can't Happen Here, by Sinclair Lewis, it came to me. The brain does work occasionally. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for continuing the good work. Take care of yourself. Be kind to those around you and continue the struggle for justice and peace. Stay tuned, and we will see you next week. This is Cecil Prescott for More Talk Radio on KBOO FM.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland. From its founding, KBOO's purpose has been to serve as a community-driven alternative to mainstream media. In a new year, with numerous executive orders from a new presidential administration and the rise of misinformation, KBOO affirms its